We're starting. My name is Yong Hailu.
I'm Bikram Bhandari. I'm senior student at NDSU, and today we have the pleasure of meeting Jim Hambick, NDSU alumni and current senior vice president at Corner Store Bank. How's your day going, Jim?
Great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
And go Bison, of course.
All right. So let's start with, why don't you tell us something about yourself?
Fortunate to stay here throughout my whole career, and I've been in banking for 31 years.
How did you prepare for your first job?
Well, certainly the mindset was, if you want to get a good job, you needed to go to college and get a degree. And so the mind, I guess along that line, I was very focused on studying, getting good grades, having fun in school, but really my focus was I wanted to have a good career and just, you know, going to class and paying attention and learning as much as I could.
Yeah, my fun part stopped at freshman year.
it gets a little more intense as you go, absolutely.
So what did you do as credit analyst when you first started the job at Norwest Bank? Was it your first job?
Yes, it was. My first job was a credit analyst at Norwest Bank. Basically, what we did and what most credit analysts do in community banks, they work with business bankers on underwriting and analyzing financial statements from companies. So understanding the cash flow of the business, what's the collateral, what's the history, what's the projections look like, because we want to understand when we're making a business loan, how are we going to get repaid? And it might be, whether it's a term loan, an operating line, a real estate loan, there's different analysis that goes into it. But my first job as a credit analyst was doing that, and it was a great stepping stone to becoming a business banker.
So that was mostly, you're dealing with businesses more than individuals?
Yes.
Okay.
In that situation, yes. I mean, certainly you could have analysts that underwrite or focus on individuals, they could focus on ag. Mm-hmm. I primarily was focusing on small to medium-sized businesses.
So what kind of businesses did you help? Like, what do you mean by small to medium-sized businesses?
Boy, everything you can think of. So manufacturing companies, wholesale companies, developers, real estate developers, accounting firms, law firms, pharmacies, software companies. Mm-hmm. Almost, if you can think of it, probably had a chance to look at it at some point in my career. And that's what's great about community banks and the businesses that we're in and the markets that we're in, is we get to look at all different kinds of businesses. So you may not become an expert at all of them, but you have a nice working knowledge, and so that's you get a lot of exposure.
Interesting. Other question? Not me. I was interested in what is the interesting thing that you were doing at that particular career, like, that really stuck out to you, that helped you, like, further on?
As a credit analyst?
Yes.
I think just, and especially at the point of my career, so right out of college, almost right out of college, is just the complexity of companies and all the different issues that they face, mm-hmm. and have an appreciation for, if you're a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. And you can't control the weather, you can't necessarily control what happens politically. Mm-hmm. You have to build a strong balance sheet to weather those storms as much as you can. But every business has risk, and just my job as a credit analyst and working with the business banker was to assess that risk, mm-hmm. Essentially put a grade on that risk, and then from there figure out how to underwrite loans. Back to your original question, I think just getting that exposure to this, such a variety of, of businesses, again, that was a lot of fun and a great place to learn credit before I took the job as a business banker.
All right. I saw that you started working as a business banker on May 1991 with Norwest and Wells Fargo at the same time. How did you get two jobs at the same time?
And that's misleading. Norwest Bank and Wells Fargo came together later on in my career. So I was hired by and became a business banker at Norwest Bank, and then in probably late 1999 or early 2000 is when Norwest and Wells Fargo came together. And because Wells Fargo had been around since 1852, they took the Wells Fargo
name,
which survives to this day. So, no, it was just one job, and Norwest was the predecessor.
All right. What did you do as a business banker that was different than credit analyst? Because as a credit analyst, you worked with business banker, but what did you do as a business banker?
Yeah. And some banks will structure their teams to include the credit analysts in the business banking relationship with the customer. Some, it's a little more back room. So in that case, I was a little more of a back room person behind the scenes as a credit analyst. As a business banker, you're the relationship manager for that relationship with ABC company, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So you're the person that is in front of the business, talking to the CEO, the owners, the CFO, to understand their financial service needs. And that isn't just loans. It's electronic banking. It's depository accounts. Everything you can kind of think of that a business may need or use from a bank or a financial institution. So as a business banker, then I got to be in front of the clients, get to know their business, call on customers that aren't currently banking with us, try to win their business. So you really become, as we would call it, on the front line, and becoming a better term might be relationship manager.
Yeah, sounds like it's a bit of sales into that too.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, and we sometimes sales can be, you know, maybe not the a term that people don't like that much.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah, yours was more of a personal selling.
Certainly, what we want to do as a relationship manager, a business banker, is help to solve or provide solutions to problems, issues that the client may be having. Help them achieve their goals. If they want to grow their business, chances are they're going to need some capital to do that, and some of that capital is going to be a bank providing loans. So we really want to provide solutions to help them achieve their goals. We want to be who they turn to when they make important decisions about their money.
For example, the business just starting that you don't really have a lot of information about, how would you give them a solution?
Yeah, and those are some of the toughest ones, because brand new businesses, and I know there's a lot of entrepreneurs at NDSU, and I'm so impressed with them. And often that initial capital is self-raised because banks, it was a little tougher for banks to lend money to a brand new business that maybe doesn't have a lot of capital. But we look at their business plan, we look at the strength of the owners, we look at the industry, because some industries have more risks than others, and really then make the best decision that we can to help them. And fortunately, we have, you know, Small Business Administration that helps with banks with loans. We have Bank of North Dakota and the state of North Dakota that really helps with entrepreneurial activities. So we have a lot of good programs that we can work with to help new businesses get off the ground. And we really enjoy when we can do that.
This is really helpful for me because I just started my own moving company.
Okay.
So I've been trying to, I'm raising the capital through this, you know, working and saving some of the money. I'll try to pay my bills.
Yep.
Yeah, this is really helpful. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with your business. And if you ever have any questions, let me know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're the current vice president of Cornerstone Bank. How did you get that position?
I've been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
So in my role, I have a lot of clients. So I have a decent-sized portfolio, and that includes not only, again, like I mentioned earlier, lending clients, but some large depositors with sophisticated electronic banking needs. Also in my role, I supervise our cash management sales area, so back to the electronic banking piece. So we make sure our business clients are able to do ACH, which is an automatic clearinghouse. Let's say they want to pay their employees electronically.
Okay.
We have that product. If they want to, you know, take the checks that they collect and remote deposit them to the bank versus going to the bank, we have those products.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to pay bills with credit cards, we have that. You know, just so forth and so on. So that part of our world at Cornerstone Bank, cash management sales, is essentially reports to me.
Okay, so you're like the head of that.
I am the head of it. I'm the responsible for the sales piece of that part of our world, yes.
All right. Are there other senior vice presidents?
There are, yes. And again, different banks will probably look at how they, what they call certain people, whether it's, you know, assistant vice president, senior vice president, executive vice president. So different businesses have different methods to when you've achieved that status. Mm-hmm. So we have more than a handful of that, I said, shortened to SVPs, and I'm fortunate to be one of them.
I saw that since you started, right after your first job, you started managing business assistants and customer representative starting from 1991. How was it managing people for the first time?
Sure, no, that's a great question. So I actually, when I was at Wells Fargo, in Norwest, but then Wells mm-hmm. Fargo, there was a period of time where I was the business banking manager for this market, so Fargo, Moorhead, oh. West Fargo. And so I had business bankers and business banking associates or assistants reporting to me, and credit analysts too, if I remember right. It's been a while. And you know, that it takes it's different than being a relationship manager, although there's similarities. I think when you're a manager of people, your goal is to help your team achieve the goals of the department, help your team become the type of employee, hit their career goals as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, a big part of a manager is to work with their employees, have a development plan, understand, you know, do you like your job? Mm-hmm. If you don't, let's find something that you want to do that's different. Mm-hmm. If you like your job and you want to keep growing, you have aspirational goals to be at this level within our bank, let's figure out a way to get you there. What kind of training do you need? So it's a huge part of any company to yeah. have good management that take care of the employees and to let their team members know when they're not doing what they need to do and help them get to that level. You right. know, whether it's, you know, we kind of have ratings, you know, different banks and different companies have ratings, whether you're meeting expectations, exceeding them, below. And if you're below expectations, we got to figure out how to get you to meeting expectations.
Okay, so I also saw that you were the former senior vice president of Starton Bank. How has that been different than Cornerstone?
So Starton Bank yeah. was, so after I left Wells Fargo, there was a handful of us that left Wells Fargo to help Starion open their mm-hmm. market in Fargo. So they've been a long time bank. They've been around for 50 years, as a matter of fact, Starion okay. has. And so we had that opportunity to do that in Fargo. And it was a great 6-year run, a very good bank, lots of great people. It's a similar community size bank to Cornerstone Bank. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of similarities, you know, like anything, there's probably a little different structure and ownership and things like that. But mm-hmm. I do very similar job duties at both companies.
So you said that you helped start the Starion Bank here in Fargo while you were in Wells Fargo.
No, I had left Wells Fargo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, there was I was one of four people that left Wells Fargo to help get Starion going in Fargo.
So you were the very beginning, one of the very beginning person up there. That's great.
I was one of four, I should say. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun to start something from scratch.
Yeah.
Well, you start your business. It feels good when and feels tough yeah. when you don't have good days. But it was a neat thing to do.
So since your first job, you've been having a leading position in every job you've went to. What do followers expect from leaders?
Great question. I think they expect their leaders to be pretty quick with decisions, be pretty thoughtful about decisions, to help the employee grow, as I mentioned earlier, to have their back, but to also provide the constructive feedback, which sometimes is hard to deliver and hard to accept. But I think one of the main things is don't let an issue fester, don't let it sit there, let's address it. And I think some, you know, think it through, but be somewhat swift with fixing something that's maybe not working so well. Yeah, dealing with issues, absolutely.
I actually had a question. would you be interested in being the president of a bank, like the top person?
Sure. Great question. There's a lot that goes with that. And it's a real honor, though. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll find a lot of community bank presidents have a path somewhere in their career that they spent in business banking and understanding that part of the world. Mm-hmm. Sure, I would be honored to do that. And if it happens, great. If it doesn't, I've been so fortunate to be in business banking my whole career and to work with great clients and really, really great people.
What do you do as a senior vice president, and what did you do in Starion Bank, and what do you do in Cornerstone now? Because you said your responsibility kind of seems similar.
They're very similar. Again, I have a portfolio of clients, and so I'm responsible to be their business banker to help them with their financial service needs, again, obviously including loans, and then to lead the charge, if you will, for our cash management sales. And so I basically that's what I was doing at Starion at the end of my time at Starion, and that's what I've been doing at Cornerstone since I started. And, you know, I've built a pretty good portfolio. I've been fortunate to do that. And, you know, it's a decent size. So with that comes, you got to be kind of good at prioritizing and, you know, taking care of the needs of some pretty sophisticated companies.
Yeah. What's the most interesting task that you've ever had to do at any of your jobs? Like challenging or?
Oh, boy. I think, I don't know if it's the most interesting, I'll think about that a little bit more, but I think a challenging task is just if you can't get a loan done the way the client or the prospect wants you to. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to explain how we can do it, not that we can't do it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's on occasions where you're really probably not helping the business by giving them more credit when it doesn't appear that it can be repaid. So I think that's always a challenging thing because, you know, deep in your heart you want to help and you want to help them the way they think they need to get that credit, but sometimes you just can't do it. Mm-hmm. So that's tough, but you got to make the right decision because you're still responsible for the bank, for the shareholders of the bank, for the coworkers. You want to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. But more often than that, we can figure out at least a how to get something done versus a no. Mm-hmm. And that how might not be something the business wants to do. And if they don't, you know, then you've at least had a good conversation, hopefully a positive result in that I didn't get what I want, but I understand I don't like it, but I understand where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. And maybe they can find a loan somewhere else or move forward with how we said we could do it.
Have you had a business where you presented your how, but they didn't want it, but you really wanted to invest in that business, so you had to change your how somehow to get them to get your loan?
You know, I would say absolutely, in the sense that it's always a discussion. So if they present A and we present B, and you continue that discussion, maybe C happens because the dialogue is strong. And it's a can-do attitude. You know, how do we figure this out together? What can we do? So absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't always end at A or B. It often says C or D or E, whatever it might be.
Yeah, most of the time.
If you have enough time to kind of work through that, absolutely.
Yeah, because you can't just work for the bank and not work for the customers or your clients.
Well, bank doesn't exist. We don't have customers.
You're right.
I mean, obviously, but it's so true. We're in the business of making loans and providing depository services and other financial services, like I mentioned earlier, including insurance and investments. So we have to make loans to stay in business.
So you just mentioned insurance. What kind of insurance does Cornerstone Bank does?
We recently acquired a small insurance company that primarily does, I would say, retail insurance, but I envision us growing that to have more of an ag and commercial presence too. But that's not my area of the bank. So, and then we have We have some financial consultants that work with our customers on investments and retirements and things like that.
So how big is Cornerstone Bank? Because before I came to North Dakota, I was in Philadelphia,
okay.
And I've never heard of Cornerstone there.
No, Cornerstone Bank is hanging around the billion-dollar mark. We're not quite $1 billion yet. So if you think of the state of North Dakota, we're a top 10 size bank. So we're growing. I'm sure we'll be $1 billion next year, would be my guess, just simply my guess. So for the state of North Dakota, we're a good-sized bank. For Philadelphia, we wouldn't be a very big bank.
Yeah, so there's a lot of banks.
Yeah, I had a question about the fact that you're an NDSU alum.
Mm-hmm.
How did the experience at NDSU help shape you and your first job? Like,
sure.
How well did it help you?
I think I've often said one of the best things about going to college, and especially at NDSU, is you learn how to learn.
Mm.
And so I think that was, I think discipline, certainly my accounting classes helped a lot in becoming a credit analyst and understanding balance sheets and income statements and cash flow.
Mm.
But I think that, and then the connections you make, you know, get to know your classmates and follow them through. But I really think just the experience of learning in the classes and learning how to learn, and in particular finance and accounting for the degree that, or the job I ended up getting.
Mm-hmm.
So do you still to this point use the knowledge that you learned in school?
I think so. Particularly as it relates to, if you keep going back to it, but accounting. You know, if you look at a company financial statement, let's say you get an audit statement, and you're looking through it, I mean, you got to understand how the debits and credits work, and really it comes down to pulling what's the changes in the balance sheet and the impact of cash flow. What obviously on the income statement is new and different from last year, and is that a trend or is it a one-time type entry? Now, in college, I think NDSU has come a long ways from when I went to school.
Yeah.
As far as classes that give you more real world experiences, we didn't have that quite as much, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe, yes, that knowledge that I got, I received at NDSU is still in play today.
Technology has changed a lot since you went to school and now. And how do you evolve with that? Because when you went to school, they probably didn't have as much computers.
They had computers. We had computer classes. I avoided them like the plague, which was not a very good idea. Not
good
at
investment.
All. No, it was not very smart. So I wish we'd had more. I'm blown away by what you guys get to experience now in your classes. And I mean, it was textbooks, it was chalkboards, it was overhead projection.
A lot of hands-on work.
Taking note, yeah, it was way different. But for the time, didn't know any better, so it worked.
Has technology impacted how you lead people?
How we lead people? I'm sure.
Lead or manage?
It's definitely how you manage. Yes,
yeah.
I would say yes to that because of the tools that are afforded us to communicate, to deal with problems more swiftly, to, you know, kind of, yeah, you think about a big thing for us in our companies, we have multiple locations, and so we can be on video conference, obviously we do it here too. Just seeing people, you know, it's way different than a phone call.
Yeah.
And so the ability to have face-to-face technology, I think, really helps from a management and a leadership perspective. At the end of the day, though, leadership is about relationship and having an interaction and being respectful, and that doesn't change. I mean, technology doesn't change that. It's still that human quality that we bring to play there.
Going back to the internet, has there been any cons since the internet boom of the 90s, like? like any cons in terms of like your jobs? Like, is it like more work or like
things like that? Maybe this will answer your question, because I do think about this a lot. In the days when we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have, guys, I started working, we got an email. The advent of technology has really changed the job to be almost 24/7. Mm. And again, you want to have respect for time off and PTO and family. That all still stays in play. But it's really, if you are in my business, and given how competitive it is, and the relationships you build with your clients and your team members, you're never really in my, you're off duty, but you're kind of not off duty.
Yeah.
So technology has just changed how we do our jobs. Everything is much faster, and it should be. That's great.
Yeah.
We want to provide great service to our customers, and if they have an issue, I'd rather work on it right away than wait for Monday.
Yeah.
So it's very positive, but it definitely, you're just not on duty as much.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the career, you have been very busy outside of your work environment for community activities. I see that you were a past president of board of directors and current board member for NDSU, and vice chair of board of directors for Dakota Business Lending. How do you manage the time?
Also a great question. I've learned early in my career the importance of being involved in community, and I wished I would have known, or not known, I wish I would have paid more attention to that when I was in NDSU as a student, to see, okay, there's all these different ways you can give back and meet people and make connections. That, you know, there's a business component to being involved in your community, but it's also the right thing to do.
Right.
It helps tremendously if you work for a company like Cornerstone that has one of their values being involved in the community and giving back. So the opportunity I have to spend time at Dakota Business Lending or being on the NDSU Foundation Board, et cetera, is because I work for a great company that values that. And banks are also part of the bank's rating, if you will, is Community Reinvestment Act and doing great things in the community. So it's really important for us to do that. But I really enjoy it. I guess at the end of the day, it's another opportunity to be in the community and get to meet new people, and you know, hopefully it's something you're passionate about and feel like you can give back, you know, with your time, talents, and treasures. It's fun.
Yeah, meeting new people is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So how's work life balance with you? Yeah.
Good thing my wife isn't here. No, she's awesome and she's very supportive. Oh, it's good. Again, it's not a 40-hour week job, but I think I'd be bored if it was. And because again, I feel really lucky. I get to help people make hopefully important decisions about their money and help them achieve their business goals and personal goals. But also, you know, some of those. I definitely have time to go and do some football games. I have time to do the things that I want to do.
So you do go to every game? Every Saturday?
Every home game and occasional away game, yes.
All right, that's awesome. Do you tailgate?
Yes, we do.
I'll see you there.
Yeah, I'll look for you guys.
All right. What was the question? You go.
No, I'm out of questions, actually.
Hold on. So what do you suggest that we do to have a successful career?
Oh, boy. Let's see. It's obviously easy to say work hard, and I don't have to worry about you guys. I can tell that's going to happen. Seek knowledge. Stay in touch with your community. Stay in touch with your industry. Read. Be a sponge. Ask for people to be, you know, if you run into somebody that you're really impressed with and your age or younger or older that maybe is in the same industry or competing industry or a different industry, let's say, that you say, I could learn from this person. Let him or her know. Could we have a cup of coffee together sometime and just talk? I think really just keeping your mind open to new opportunities. I think another thing, you know, in our industry, in banking, I remember a gentleman from Norwest way back when, someone asked him a similar kind of question, and he said, boy, if you stay within the banking industry, maybe, but do all kinds of different jobs in the industry, you know, travel, go to different places. And again, I've been forced to stay here the whole time,
right?
But a lot of people would have, let's go someplace else in the country and do a different type of job and maybe grow in that respect. But I really think, guys, it's just keep learning.
Yeah, you've been here a long time, but you've been changing jobs. Like, you've been going from job to another job. How do you get the braveness to go to another job? You had a senior vice president position at Starion Bank, but you decided to go to Cornerstone.
Yeah. A lot of it's about relationships with former team members. Mm-hmm. So you heard me mention earlier, when I left Wells Fargo, I departed with three other team members. All who are really good friends of mine. When I departed Starion, there's more than a handful of old Norwest people that work at Cornerstone that had the opportunity to go back to work with again. So it's about relationships. And, you know, in 31 years, I've basically worked for three places. So not too many.
Yeah.
And they've all been in the same industry. But really, it's about it. Every place I've worked has been great, and every time I've changed, it's been mostly because I have an opportunity to go back and work with people that I've known a long time and have a huge amount of respect for.
So, have you started any business of your own beside your career?
No, I'm not brave enough. Guys, I'd rather help someone start that business.
Yeah.
No, I have not. I would say there's a bit of an argument that when we were hired by Starion to get Fargo going, it kind of felt like we were starting our own business.
Yeah.
But that bank was well established, and we were just kind of opening a new market.
So I'm at my very beginning phase of my business. I opened my business a year ago, but I've accumulated enough money to start make my own website. Actually, I've told someone to make a website for me.
Okay.
So what do businesses look for me to be applicable for a loan? Not me, my company.
So if I may restate, what as a business banker, what would I be looking for from
me?
You. So, well, I tell you, the number one thing is, how are you going to repay me? So, you know, show me your business history, albeit a short history. Take a second. Okay, back. So, really the understanding of how does the business cash flow work, and you're new, but what are your projections, and what are your expenses? You know, what's revenues, expenses? What are, is your balance sheet got a little cushion in case you hit a slow month? You know, those kinds of things, basically. And then secondly, what are you buying? What is the loan for? Is it for buying a truck? Is it for operating line? Because there's a couple of slow months, and then you pick back up again. So really the analysis of what's the purpose of the loan, how are we gonna repay it, and what's the collateral backing the loan?
So, for example, I want to expand my business from moving to other services like snow blowing,
sure,
lawn mowing. How would you analyze that? Would you analyze the market for the lawn mowing and snow blowing in the area? Or
we would expect that you would be doing that, yes. So that you've done some homework to say, okay, you know, in the marketplace, there's this many businesses doing this. The population of Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo is growing at this rate. The housing, we're adding rooftops at this clip. I see a need for more snow removal and lawn services. And I think I can, you know, this might be drilling down too much, but I think I can capture this many households of that growth. And here's how I'm in the market. I've done my homework. The market suggests this is how much you get paid for a typical size house for lawn care and snow removal. You know, and then the marketing piece is how are you going to market yourself? I mean, your website, social media, what are you going to do? But yeah, we would expect some homework to be done there. Now, the other thing, guys, is there's resources. Obviously, you can do a lot of homework, but when it comes time to kind of putting your business plan together, mm-hmm. there's some free resources at the Small Business Development Center in Fargo to help you put a business plan together to kind of pull that all into numbers. So then you can give it to the banker, and the banker can go, okay, I see how he or she is going to make this work.
Okay. Do you have any other question?
No, I don't. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, do you have any questions for us?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there is... First of all, this has been fun. I'm honored to be here.
Yeah. We're honored to interview
honored
you.
In your presence.
and I'm just such a huge NDSU guy, so I love that NDSU is making such great strides in the business program and giving students in marketing mm-hmm. and finance and business and accounting and information systems, so forth and so on, opportunities to do something kind of different. If I had any questions, I'm just kind of curious about this particular class, mm-hmm. you know, the podcast, what happens next, mm-hmm. how many of these are you doing? Just curiosity.
Well, it's just one podcast.
Okay.
You're our first and last. So,
last
so what we're going to be doing next is like we'll go and present it to the class about what we talked about and what were our takeaways, you know.
Sure.
So this project was one of the we did this project so we could get overview on our career itself. That's why she assigned us people that would be related to our careers.
Yeah, at least one of us.
Yep, okay.
Yeah. And I felt like that's why I was asking you questions more on like general, like how's work-life balance, stuff like that.
Yep.
Because that applies to me as well. But yeah, he was more asking more of the financial aspect.
And it helps me appreciate kind of where the questions were coming from. And the work-life balance is a really good one. Mm-hmm. I actually just read an article that I should send you guys. And it talks about, human beings work better in like 90-minute spurts.
Yeah.
And then it's good to take a little break. And getting at least 8 hours of sleep a night is better than six. And a nap, you know, not that we, I'm not sure how I take a nap in my house, but. I mentioned you're kind of never off duty. That's true, but some of that is, you know, you still got to find that time to recuperate. You got to make sure you got time for family, make sure you have time for friends, for the social aspect of life, and to give back to the community. Sometimes that feels like that's part of my job, but at the end of the day, it's really fun. So, you know, it's a really fun part of the job, if you want to call it that. So I just state that to make sure you're comfortable that even though I kind of talk about working a lot, it's not a 40-hour-a-week job. You gotta make that time. And if I find that article, if you guys don't mind.
Yeah, you have my email, and I'll forward it to him.
And it's it might be a nice fit in something you'd ultimately do in a class sooner or later.
That should be pretty good for consumer behavior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you for giving us your time. It's been an honor, and we've really enjoyed
really
it.
Fun.
I've enjoyed it. I don't know about him.
This was. Thank you for asking me. This was as more fun than I thought it would be, and I thought it would be pretty fun. So
yeah.
This is my first one ever. Then I might even do this more.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I might look up alumni and just call them over here and just do this.
Yeah. If you're looking for specific people, industry, whatever it might be, and obviously you'd want to find them from around here.
Mm-hmm.
If you need any help, give me a shout.
All right, absolutely. I have your email, and let me see. If I have my business card, I'll give it to
you. And if, you know, as you pull this together, if something didn't work very well and you need me to check back or whatever, just let me know.
I think it'll be fine because mostly the issue would be, like, audio.
Yeah.
But... we could like adjust audio and stuff in case you're too low or you're too high.
Use the good stuff. Don't make me look bad.
We'll distort your voice.
Yeah. And then he said.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be giving you a call.
Sure. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, sorry. I left my business card in the car.
Oh, that's fine. I got your contact. So,
pleasure to meet you.
Yeah.